your Bibles there, we'll open up in Acts chapter 1. And it's really amazing how the Lord works things out. My talk today is that it's the time of the Holy Spirit. And talking about the plan of God and the responsibility of the church has now landed in the hands of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that, binds us all together. We hear of lots of churches going on around the world, but everyone has a different thing that combines them together. But the thing that binds us together is the experience of the Holy Ghost, that we had this time where we had a realization that we didn't have the Holy Ghost. We believed the gospel. We prayed for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is that we spoke in tongues and that we all agree with that. So we come together and we're all the people that speak in tongues group. And we come together and we identify that it's the Holy Spirit that put us together, which was very much the same as what happened right back in the beginning, because that's who the saints were. They were the people that spoke in tongues, the speaking in tongues people. They're the ones that were meeting together. So I just want to pick up here in chapter 1 and talking about what time this was. So this is the time where Jesus had been crucified. On the third day, he rose again, and then he started to appear to, firstly, his disciples, then other people. And it says here that, verse 3, it says, infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So it wasn't only the disciples, but there was things happening. And I was just going through similar sort of things with the youngies on Friday night. We were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it's what really got me thinking about this. And you think it was a really amazing time there. Jesus, who they saw, going back to before he was crucified, they were experiencing a lot of things. There was people being healed. There was people being raised from the dead. All these sorts of things. He had a crowd following him. He fed 5,000. He walked on water. He did all these amazing things. He was gaining momentum. The Romans were intrigued by him at that stage. They really didn't get in his way, but it was the religious people that just couldn't stomach him, because he was drawing their disciples. He was drawing the people that they had power to him, and they just couldn't have that, and so they looked to arrest him. He was arrested, he was crucified, but then all the things that happened at his crucifixion, where you see that even the centurion that looked at all these things, at the middle of the day, it went dark. Jesus was talking about all these things on the cross, fulfilling scripture. There was, after Jesus died, there was an earthquake. There was Uncle George up from the grave and at the dinner table, and all these sorts of things going on, and the people were spooked, and there was things happening in Jerusalem that really got them thinking about it. And then on the third day, Jesus rise again, just as he said he would. So the first man in history that claimed something, he claimed he was the Son of God. He also claimed that you kill me, I will rise the third day. I have power over death and over hell. And so here he is. And here we're picking up on this. And things were just about to explode. And it's basically the handing over. Jesus is handing over to the Holy Spirit. He talked about the Holy Spirit. He said it'll come as a comforter. He said, I'm going away. But that's not the end of it. The Holy Spirit is coming. And this is basically the changeover of the shift. You've seen that cartoon with Sam and the sheepdog and all that? Ching, ching. Well, Jesus did what he's going to go sit on the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit was going to come to take over. Because in the case of Jesus coming in the flesh, it was limited because it was a limited location. If Jesus moved to another town, then you'd lose contact with him. and all that sort of thing. But things were going to change where the Holy Ghost would now be dwelling in a believer, that there'll be no, you'll be in the presence of God at all times, 24/7, just as Pastor Tony was talking about, using the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was emphasizing this. He was saying to them, we'll go in verse 4, he gives a command. He commands them that they shouldn't depart, and we know all this, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus here gives a commandment saying, it's not going to start until you're empowered with the Holy Ghost. So you've got to stay here. So why do we emphasize the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus did. He actually commanded us to receive the Holy Spirit. So if any other church takes that emphasis off the Holy Spirit and moves it onto something else, which that's what the churches do. They know about the scriptures. They read about the parables. That's all well and good. They talk about Jesus, but they don't talk about the time that we're living in and what's actually whose responsibility it is now. And it's the responsibility of the Holy Ghost now in this time. Yes, it's well and good to understand the Gospels and the stories of Jesus and who he is, but no point knowing all that if you're not empowered by the Holy Ghost, because it's the Holy Ghost that's actually leading it. And we know that things started here in verse 4, and they were, go to chapter 2 and verse 4, and it says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we know that this group here, they were, you know, before they received the Holy Spirit, they had received miracles, didn't they? They believed in Jesus. They made Jesus their Savior. They believed his word, but they weren't saved. And I know that you agree with me, but if I was to go to another church or go down the road, go to the Baptist church and stand up and just say that, I'd be getting thrown sandwiches and bottles at me and go, what are you saying? What are you saying? These disciples here were believers. They were saved. They weren't. And so what bound them all together, this 120, what bound them all together was the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was now making it very clear that I am handing over to the Holy Spirit. And the next time you see me, you won't understand what you see, because you can't really relate to it. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, and I'll explain what I mean by that. Because Jesus appears here, but he doesn't appear as a man. What John's describing is something that we can't even, it's Revelation. So he's sort of trying to pick up what you can from what's going on. But what it is, it's Christ glorified. But we go to Revelation chapter 1. We'll go to verse 10. So now we pick up on God's plan. This is the Apostle John. He's in the Isle of Patmos. He's been led by the Holy Spirit, and because he's been true to the Holy Spirit, he ends up in jail on an island. Legend has it that they tried to cook him in olive oil. They had a lot of olive oil around there, and he didn't cook, so they didn't know what to do with him. So we'll stick him on an island. And the Lord actually gives him these visions, and we're reading them, praise the Lord. And he wrote them down. We'll just in verse 10 it says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see write in the book, and I'll send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Okay, it's a pretty amazing situation here. This is the Lord actually going to address the people. And at this time, it was a normal thing to receive a letter. Very personal. You know, you receive a letter, you open it up. It was the way they communicated. If we were to bring this to our age, it's like getting a text from the Lord. Wouldn't that be pretty interesting? The Lord goes, I was at the midweek meeting and da 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 sort of thing. And you think, I'd be really interested to hear that. It's sort of like, Lord, tell us, I had a prophecy for you, but you didn't open your mouth. you're thinking about Hungry Jack's or something, you know? And you just go, you know, just open your mouth next time. There'll be words for you or whatever. I'm being silly. But it was a bit like that. It's very personal. And the Lord actually describes what he's doing here. We'll go down to at verse 12. And it says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden sticks. And in the midst of the seven golden sticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head," and this is what I've described, this is what Jesus Christ looks like now, the glorified Jesus Christ. If he was to come down in front of us now, it would just blow us away. Verse 14, "And his head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes was flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shines in his strength." It's pretty amazing, isn't it, when we just think about Jesus Christ at this time. Jesus Christ is about to hit the scene. And it talks about even the believers and the ones that haven't even recognized him, their knee will bow, and no one will have to say that he is Lord. This sort of imagery, I don't know how he's going to appear, but if you saw something like this, it's just going to be awesome. And it's not up to us to tell everyone, that's the Son of God. They'll pick it up. You know, the sky is splitting. He's coming through the clouds. There's trumpets. It's just an amazing time. Verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at my feet as dead." And that's this is a believer. And he's just seeing this, and he's just fallen to the ground. "He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. So be it. And I have the keys of hell and of death." When I read that, I go, Lord, you just want to be close to the Lord. He's got everything. You know, he's in control of the whole lot. And he's saying, it's awesome, but he knows us. It's sort of like, it's pretty intimidating when you're like the kingdom of God and all that's going on there and just the amazing power that's involved. You've got God, you've got the Son of God, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got the angels and all that. But they all know us personally. They know our names. They know our testimony. They know where we fellowship. They know how we think. It's amazing. You just see all that, and it's pretty intimidating. But when we enter into that presence of the Lord, he'll know us. We don't have to say, I'm Chad from the Vogue. You know, they'll know. As you're walking in, they'll know us because they've been with us through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, "Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." And the amazing thing in the first, because, you know, the Revelation is a pretty amazing book. There's stuff, you know, going on there. It's talking about the future. It's talking about here, what's going to happen in Rome, about the power from Islam, about coming through, about the end of the age, about all these sorts of things. But here, from chapter 1 through to 3, it gives us symbols and then tells us what these symbols are, because the Lord really wants us to get this. So verse 20, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels or the messengers or the pastors or leaders of the seven churches. "And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Okay, so the Lord is saying, well, this is it. I know the leaders. I want to send a message to the leaders. So I'm going to send them each leader a text message to the church. And I want you to know that I'm walking in amongst, so where two or more gathered in my name, Jesus said, here I am in the midst. So Jesus Christ is here. And we've got to always remember that. When we come together, when we come to a Holy Ghost meeting, Jesus Christ is here. So that's why in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are, because it's the Holy Ghost here, Jesus Christ is here, and the Lord ministers to us on a personal level, and you'll miss out if you're sitting at home. You need to be here. We need to be here in the presence of the Holy Ghost. We'll go to chapter 2 and verse 1. Not going to go through every church here, but I just want to, we'll go through the, in verse 1, this is the church at Ephesus. But it's good to see what the Lord has for them. And unto the angel, so this is unto the leader, unto the pastor of the church at Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden sticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and has tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Okay, so the Lord's drilling down, really personal here. He's saying, I know thy works. So he knows what's going on. People set up chairs here. You know, the Lord knew who set up those chairs and the attitude that came from that. Or there's preparation. There's good here in Gawley. You've got coffees and there's other cakes going on and all that. The Lord sees all that. Why is that all important? It's because it brings us together and it makes this special. Just the small things even like in a practical way. Here in Gawler, you know, the painting, the everything that has gone on here, all the labor, the Lord's seen all that, taking time out, coming here on weekdays and all that sort of thing. The Lord is identifying that and saying, I know that, and I know your patience, and I know everything that's going into your walk. I know how much you're praying. I know how much you're reading the Word of God, and I know how much you care about the fellowship succeeding, because you're helping the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost cares. It's the Holy Ghost that's running this. And so, you know, that's something to bring out and just remind ourselves. And the big thing here in verse 2 is saying that, we know what's right and what's wrong, and we know who to back and who not to back. Here in verse 2. Verse 3 it says, and thou hast borne and hast patience for my namesake, and has labored and has not fainted. So we go on, we're overcome. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So something was going on here, but the Lord was encouraging here, and he was just saying, yep, you've gone, you were hot, but you know, you're pulling back a bit. There's something happened. Remember therefore for where have you fallen, and repent. So it's always easy to come back, just to repent, and do thy first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick from his place, except thou repent. Okay, so just looking at verse 5, and I was just looking at my life there. It's how long have we been in the Lord now? For 25 years. So there's certain things that I was doing a lot more on my first year in the Lord than I'm doing now. And so the Lord always just wants us to assess. In my first year in the Lord, I was under huge persecution. My family, I wasn't very wise. I got baptized, I was still living at home. I was 19 at the time. I opened the door. I said, you're all going to hell. Yeah, just like, and they're thinking, where's he been? What is he doing? Because they knew I took drugs. They didn't know how much drugs I took. They knew I went to nightclubs and didn't sleep for 3 days afterwards and all that sort of thing. And they're thinking, what has he done? What is he doing? And I said, oh, I've been at the Vogue Theatre and really amazing people. They speak in tongues. I've been baptized and all that. And my parents were really, really worried, and they just put the pressure on, because they were good Catholics, went to Catholic church twice a year. And maybe if there was a funeral, 3 times a year or whatever. But I was just thinking back. I had a lot of persecution, and I used to spend, you know, I would reckon 2 or 3 hours a week praying in my car in the Holy Ghost. I was praying for my family. I was praying that they didn't kill me. I was just trying to work this thing out. I was just going, is it worth it? Is it worth? Because I didn't really know what I know now. I was sort of like, I feel happy. I received a miracle. Really don't know much, but when I pray in the Holy Ghost, this feels amazing. I don't feel like smoking marijuana anymore, listening to the techno music. And I thought that was a bit strange because that was my life. But then I just have no desire for all that. So really, the first year in the Lord just intrigued me. I was going, how can someone change? Like, I was at the Vogue for an hour and a half. You know, I've never been anywhere for an hour and a half and changed as much. You know, just walk in, Chad number one, come out Chad born again, and sort of like, yeah, nothing's making sense. Music's not making sense. The marijuana's not making sense. I'm not swearing. My mates are inviting me to go out and party with them, and I don't want to do that. And you know, that's the first love. I loved what happened to me. Didn't really understand what was going on, but I knew I had to hang on to the Holy Ghost. So the Lord's saying here, that's a good attitude, and just to draw from that again, fire ourselves up again. I know in my first year in the Lord, I was late for everything because I was inviting people to meetings. I'd fill up petrol. I'd have a pamphlet in my back pocket, and I'd be witnessing to the guy taking the money at the petrol station, and then pulling over. And I remember once at Glenelg, I was going to this outreach, and I was so pumped after this outreach. And I was driving home, and I saw this this man in a wheelchair. He would have been, I don't know, just early 30s or whatever. And I just felt for him. I said, no, I just want to stop and pray for him. But it was a bit late at night. And so I was driving. I can remember this so clearly. And I come up slowly in my car next to him. He was driving on the footpath. And I was winding down the window. And said, pull over. I want to have some prayer with you. And he's like panicking. He thinks I was going to steal his wallet or something. And I'm trying to explain what I'm trying to do, slowing down the windows down and stuff. And next thing you know, I pull over and get out of the car. And he's like, he's raced into the nearest driveway going, keep away from me. I haven't got my wallet. I haven't got any money. And, I thought, well, that wasn't too wise. But, you know, they're the first things that you do in your first years in the Lord. But you're more zealous than you are wise. And then I think as you go on, you think, I'm filling up petrol, but, you know, I've talked to 100 people at taking money and none of them have responded, so I'm not going to give them a pamphlet anymore. And then other things, and you think those things are, but the Lord's saying here, it is not, the Lord's not condemning us. He's just saying, I want you to go back and I want you to remember. Now, I would never open a door and say to everyone, you're going to hell, because I know that doesn't work. It's good for your prayer life, but it doesn't work. But there's certain things, certain attitudes, certain time allocated in my first years that I'm getting caught up doing other things now that, hey, you know, when's the last time I went on an outreach and not made up an excuse in my mind? Yeah, I'll make up really good excuses. I'm going to go and follow up this person, whatever, but I need to sharpen my sword a bit, need to get out. So yeah, there's an outreach going on. I'll do that and I'll do the other thing. So these are the sorts of things that, the Lord wants us to remember, and I'm running out of time really quickly. It's really amazing thing to think about. So just picking up on this church, so the church in Ephesus, so they came to the Lord in Acts 19. So that would have been around 50 to 55 AD. And here, this revelation from John, he's receiving that in 90 AD, 92 AD, they're saying. So this church is 40 years old. So things are starting to, you know, they still know what they've got. They're taking in good doctrine. It says that they've picked up people that have come in and said the wrong thing. They've kicked them out. But they weren't really firing as they were in the beginning. And what is the purpose of the church? That's what I wanted to bring up. What is our purpose? Anyone want to preach the gospel? Yeah. Because we're a great bunch of people. We love meeting together, but we always need to have in the back of our mind that the time that we first received the Holy Spirit, we we talked to people about it when we first received, didn't we? We, you know, when you fall in love, I remember when I fell in love with Gail, and I'd say to people, "Hi, how you going? Oh, I'm going out with Gail." You know, I don't say that anymore because she doesn't want me saying that. She knows about me now. But that's what would happen, isn't it? Or, you know, you have your first daughter and show everyone her picture and stuff like that. I don't show anyone her picture anymore. No, I don't. No. But when it first happens, my first born, you're just like my first love, and you're just showing that. The Lord's saying He wants us to do that. You know, I've fallen in love with the Lord. Have you tried the Lord? Have you heard the gospel? Jesus Christ is coming back soon, and the Lord is just trying. He's stirring us up. And telling us that, yes, it's well and good we come together. It's very, very important to come together. But we've just got to keep on looking outwards and saying that the Holy Ghost, who is overseeing all this and protecting us and giving us everything that we need, is telling us, because His job is to bring revival, isn't it? That's the Holy Ghost's job, until the day the Lord comes back. So the Holy Ghost is always looking out and looking for people that are calling out for Him. And then, so he's looking out that way. And then he's looking back here going, which saints are willing to do that? Like, there's 10 people out there calling out for me. How many saints have put their hand up to sort of, so I can connect them together? That's the working of the Holy Ghost. And so the Lord says just to be malleable, to be humble, and simply, have this first love of the Holy Ghost. So when we first fall in love, we're on that cloud, and sort of everything's really amazing. So everyone that takes my pamphlet responds to the gospel. That's what I believed when you first come along. And then, you know, 3 months into it, you're thinking, hey, it's only, a lot of people did because they could see your enthusiasm. But, you know, nothing changes. Nothing changes. If you've been in the Lord decades or whatever, the Lord's saying, be excited, be ready to preach my word. And the same things will happen to you. So, looking at the world today, Jesus Christ is just about to return. The Holy Ghost is here. It's empowering us. And the emphasis that's coming from the Holy Ghost here is just to keep on reminding us. Okay, just to wind up, we'll go to, let's go to John chapter 14. We'll just pick out a few bits and pieces. I was going to go through this whole chapter, but it's good to go through this chapter. John 14 is, you know, we probably all know it. John 14, John 15 is actually the Lord talking about the handover. I'm going away. And then everyone panic. Where you go, Lord? Like, you know, you can't leave us. You know, can we follow you? And the Lord's saying, I need to go. This plan, me in the flesh, is only a limited plan. I'm going to lay down my life, and the Holy Ghost is coming. And then he talks about a few promises that happens in the chapter there. It says, you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And all these sorts of things is what the Lord encouraged us to do. And then go down to verse 26. But this is what I really want to emphasize, and this is what the Lord emphasized. He said, and this is the, we're actually living this time where, when the Lord was delivering this, this was still a prophecy, but now we're actually living this. It says, but the Comforter. Okay, so the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. And if we continued on in Revelation, there was seven churches there. Out of the seven churches, only two of them were doing well. The rest lost the plot. They got the Holy Ghost, but, you know, the Holy Ghost, Jesus described, I'm outside, I'm knocking, please let me in. Who's kicked me out of here? And they've sort of like got on a tangent and kicked Jesus Christ out. And that's the majority of the churches. But the two churches that were doing well was Philadelphia. And in the Greek, Philadelphia means the love of the brethren. And then Smyrna. And Smyrna was under extreme persecution. Nothing like extreme persecution to tap into the Holy Ghost, isn't it? And the Lord was giving them encouragement saying, you are going to be persecuted for 10 years and lots of you are going to die, but be faithful unto death. That's incredible, just taking that in, going, it's the Holy Ghost that is actually going to transport you through. So here, the Comforter. And boy, those people knew about the Comforter. We know about the Comforter in a different way. We don't have physical persecution, but boy, are we attacked spiritually. You know, our time is just drawn out of the amount of this world just sucks your time, you know, trying to get 10 minutes of prayer. That's pretty hard to do. If you don't actually concentrate in your day to have 10 minutes of prayer, your day can go like that and you cannot have 10 minutes of prayer. And that happens really easily. But it's easy to reverse it. If you're not focused on it, it's easy for it to go, but it's really easy to bring it back in. So, praying is easy not to do and it's easy to do. So do it. That's what the Holy Ghost said. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Okay. So the Holy Ghost will come in the name of Jesus. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Okay, so this was played a huge part in the first church. If you even think about Ephesus or you think of the church at Corinth, okay? So the Corinthian church, they were into paganism. They were heathens. They were into all that religion there. It was like Sodom and Gomorrah at the local temple. And these people, and I was just thinking about, you know, I was talking to the youngies, how did Paul preach to the church in Corinth? Would he bring out the New Testament and say, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says here that you need to repent and be baptized? No, there was no Acts 2:38. There was the Holy Ghost. And he came in with signs, wonders, and miracles. Those signs, wonders, and miracles drew those pagans out of their temple and out of their lifestyle there and into the church of God. It was all to do with miracles. And I'm sure there would have been miracles of healing, miracles of your mind changing like it did for me. And then you've got this group of people that are meeting together by the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost together and having what Jesus is describing here, having the Comforter feed them the information and they're building their lives on the things that they're experiencing, good people with good testimonies, people that are really powering on in the Lord and bringing all that into the church. Let's go to John chapter 16, verse 13. It says, howbeit when he... the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's a pretty amazing verse there, because the Holy Ghost is saying here that it's the Spirit of truth, that if you listen to the Holy Ghost, it's never going to... whatever it instructs you, that's never going to be proved wrong. That's yay and amen. So if the Holy Ghost talks about resurrection power, if it talks about Jesus Christ coming back, if it talks about the signs and all of the times, that never changes. And it talks about here that the Holy Ghost will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. So the Holy Ghost is in the presence of God. And whatever's going on in heaven, and I believe in heaven, things are ramping up there, because you're seeing things fulfilled before our eyes around the world. You're seeing, like I always talk about, the Middle East is on fire. It's on fire. The things that were locked away in Ezekiel 38, that's been locked away for thousands of years. They're in our papers now. Those names, Iran and Israel. We're talking about Israel. Israel hasn't even been around for 2,000 years. We're talking about Israel now. Like that's, yeah. Even just reading Israel in the papers is a miracle, because it hadn't been around for 2,520 years. No one even knew what Israel was. That's why there's such a fight now, because Israel was there and then the Palestinians took over and now Israel wants to come back and they're saying, who's Israel? Well, Israel's saying, we were here before you, you know. And why they can't pick up on it, because they don't believe in the Word of God. But the Word of God, if you believe in the Word of God, Israel was coming back and Jesus Christ is coming back. And so the Holy Ghost is in the presence of God. It says it won't speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, he'll come and show us that. So There is momentum building in heaven at the moment. The Holy Ghost has got us going. It's got us on edge. It's got us fired up. And that's basically what I wanted to get at, is that Jesus reminds us in Revelations that he's walking through the churches. Jesus Christ is doing the same thing. Through the gifts of the Holy Ghost and through these meetings, there's lots of things happening. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, all the way through to 14, talks about how the Holy Ghost is going to, whatever it's hearing in the presence of God, how it's going to communicate that to the church. And it talks about this in, we'll go to chapter 12, verse 8. So it's talking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It says, "And for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." Okay, so now we understand the word of God. To another, a word of knowledge. So we understand the word of God. Knowledge is applying the word of God. We know we need to pray, and knowledge is to pray. We know that the word of God is yea and amen, so we've got to believe it. That's not putting it into action and getting results from it. Verse 9, to another faith. Okay, so the Holy Ghost will give us whatever comes up in our lives. Pastor Tony talked about healing and things to overcome. We know that we've all got faith, but then the Holy Ghost will give us that faith to overcome things that come up in our lives. That's a gift that comes from God. By the same Spirit, another gifts of healing. So each healing that comes our way doesn't come from the individual. That's a gift that comes from God. It comes from the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that we need to be seeking those things. To another, working of miracles, testifying of our miracles, telling people about our miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles is what built the church. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. We know what's right and wrong. We know that if someone stands up and says the wrong thing, if I stand up here and I start quoting and telling you wrong things, you start throwing things at me, won't you? You should do. Pastor Chad, that's the wrong interpretation. We don't believe that. All that, you know, you start throwing stuff at me. It's well and good. That's what should happen. Just because I look smart doesn't mean. No. I try to look smart. That's why I've got these glasses. I don't really need glasses. But all these worketh the one and the same self-same Spirit, now improving how smart I am, dividing every man severally as he will. So that's, you know, this all happens because we get together and because we're looking to the Spirit and because we're praying the Holy Ghost. And so as I finish, we're going to now think about the Lord's sacrifice. And when we're thinking about the Lord's sacrifice, think about what stage we're at now. That the Lord, we know in the Garden of Gethsemane, He went to the Lord for strength, didn't he? He knew exactly what he was getting himself into. He knew about the pain of the crucifixion. Not only that, he knew about taking on the sin of mankind. So you're going to take on pain, but you're going to take on, you know, I've done my fair share of sin, and you know, multiply that to the whole world, putting that on the soldier, on Jesus Christ, on his shoulders, that is something that we can't comprehend. And then when the Lord was looking for strength in his disciples, he said, "The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so we need the Holy Ghost. And so that's what powered the Lord into giving his life, that we now have the Holy Ghost. And as we remember his sacrifice, let's really remember the power of the Holy Ghost, the responsibility of the Holy Ghost, and how in Revelation, the big thing there is said, whatever, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. There's nothing we can give the Lord. All he wants from us is just to listen to him. The Holy Ghost is in the presence of God. It's giving the communication. We've got to listen for that. And when we do operate the voice gifts now, just to step out in faith and to really believe that this is a message coming straight from the presence of God. And all the people said, Amen. Praise the Lord.